Our scripture reading today is taken from two passages from the Word of God, both from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. First, we read the verses 1 through 7, and then verses 20 to 33. Let us hear God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And now we pick it up again at verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, if there is one thing that we all need more of, especially today, it is wisdom. You say, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom, as the Bible defines it, is the practical application of knowledge. It's taking what you know and applying it to various situations in life with beneficial results. One author put it like this, and I quote, he says, wisdom is living life skillfully. The wise person makes the right choices, says the right words, spends time and resources on the things that matter most. He has a bird's eye view of the maze of life. Wisdom is the ability to see life as God sees it. End quote. Now, needless to say, that kind of wisdom is absolutely essential. It's essential not just when facing major decisions, it's essential for daily living. When we have this kind of wisdom, we can, as one author put it, pick carefully our way around obstacles, avoid pitfalls, and identify and then reach the right goals. But where can such wisdom be found? We can find wisdom in the writings of great philosophers like Plato and Aristotle and Confucius. We can also find wisdom in the writings of certain gurus, in the Quran and the teachings of Buddha. But the ultimate source of wisdom is to be found in God's holy word, the Bible. Specifically, here in this book, the book of Proverbs. Because this book contains divine wisdom, wisdom that comes only from God. Proverbs is one of the so-called wisdom books of the Bible. The others are Job and Ecclesiastes, although sometimes the Psalms and the Song of Solomon are included in this collection as well. And what sets these books apart from the other books of the Bible is their form and their subject matter. For one thing, the wisdom books are written in poetry, not prose, although large portions of the prophets are written in poetry as well. For another thing, the wisdom books contain no factual information, such as names and places and events. As one writer put it, the wisdom books speak of the human condition in its enduring aspects. They bring to it the perspective of the divine majesty and superintending providence, pondering the question of how the creature should think about the Creator. They give special attention to the problem of human suffering. Now, of the wisdom books, Proverbs is certainly distinct. Job and Ecclesiastes deal with the questions of why and how, and as such, they are somewhat more theoretical. Proverbs, on the other hand, is more practical. It's concerned with the question, what? It deals with everyday subjects like laziness and pride and child-rearing, domestic duties, lying, gossip, covetousness, sex, and how to handle money, to name just a few. In the words of one writer, Proverbs is truth in street clothes, and it's this practical down-to-earthiness that makes Proverbs so endearing to many. Now, the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 1, begins by identifying its author. According to this verse, Proverbs was written by King Solomon. Now, technically, Agur and Lemuel also wrote parts of Proverbs, chapter 30 and chapter 31, respectively, but Solomon was the main author, and that's why his name alone is mentioned. Following the introduction of the author in verses 2 through 6, the writer explains the purposes of the book. And there are five of them. The first is to know wisdom and instruction. The second, to perceive the words of understanding. The third, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. Fourthly, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion to increase learning and attain unto wise counsels. And fifthly, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In summary, the book of Proverbs promises to impart wisdom to those who read it and to practice what it says. Now, before conveying this wisdom, however, Solomon pauses to make an important statement concerning knowledge and the foolishness of rejecting wisdom and instruction. This is like the thesis statement which undergirds the entire book. And we find that statement in verse 7 of chapter 1. And there Solomon writes these well-known words, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Solomon here speaks of true knowledge, and that's our theme today. He speaks first of all of its foundation, and secondly of its rejection. The key word in the first part of our text is the word knowledge. Solomon writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now, the Hebrew word translated as knowledge is a general term for knowledge, particularly that which is of a personal, experimental nature. So the knowledge that Solomon has in mind here is the knowledge that comes not so much from formal instruction, but rather from the experiences of daily life. And as such, it's closely related to the word wisdom. Now, wisdom, as we've already said, is the practical application of knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are so closely linked that at times they're used interchangeably. For example, in Proverbs 9, verse 10, Solomon writes that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, not of knowledge, but of wisdom. And what we have here is an exact repetition of the words of our text, only the word knowledge is replaced with the word wisdom. Now, Solomon was very interested in knowledge. He himself was a very knowledgeable man. In fact, he was the wisest and most knowledgeable man who ever lived, aside, of course, from our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 to 34, we read these words, "That God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding regions. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But Solomon was not only interested in acquiring knowledge and wisdom, he wanted others to become knowledgeable and wise as well. And that's why he wrote the book of Proverbs. What is more, he knew that in order to become wise, we have to have the right epistemology. Epistemology is your theory of knowledge. It is how you know what you know. Now, in the Western world, several theories of knowledge have developed. There's, for example, empiricism. According to this view, we know what we know through our senses. Whatever we see and hear and taste and touch and smell, that is reality. There's also something called idealism. We know what we know through our mind. Whatever we can think of or imagine is real. Then there's rationalism. This is the view that says we know what we know through reason. Whatever makes sense is real. There's also skepticism that says we cannot know anything. Well, over and against all of these views, Solomon asserts not only that we can know certain things, contrary to skepticism, but also that knowledge begins not with the senses, as empiricism teaches, not with the mind, as idealism teaches, and not with reason, as rationalism teaches, but rather with God, specifically the fear of the Lord. Solomon writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." What he means is this, that in order to know anything, we must begin with the fear of the Lord. Now, in making that statement, Solomon was not saying anything new. We find similar statements elsewhere in the wisdom literature. For example, in Job 28, verse 12, Job asks, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" And the answer comes in verse 28. "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Similarly, in Psalm 111, verse 10, the psalmist writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." But this verse, Proverbs 1, verse 7, is by far the most familiar occurrence. Knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? We don't talk a lot about the fear of the Lord today. This seems to be a rather outmoded concept also in the church. But this expression was used regularly up until about 100 years ago. In fact, truly pious Christians were regularly referred to as those who feared the Lord or feared God. So what then is this? What is this fear of the Lord? Well, first of all, let's consider that word Lord. The word Lord, which is written in capital letters, is the English translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh or Jehovah. This is God's covenant name. It's the name that he revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And so when the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord, it's referring to that fear which God's covenant people have or ought to have for God. And then there's that word fear. Now the fear that is spoken of here is not like the fear that a slave has for his master. A slave is afraid of his master. And that's because if he doesn't do exactly what his master demands, he will be punished. Whatever reason, a child of God has to be afraid of God, namely his sin has been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, instead of being afraid of God, the child of God loves God, and God loves him. So what kind of fear is this then? Well, it's more like the fear that a child has for his or her father. It's a fear born of love and respect. A child is not afraid of his father because he knows that his father loves him. But if things are right, he does hold him in high esteem, and he would never do anything that his father would not want him to do. Now, such is the fear that a believer has of God. It's a fear born of love and respect. One writer defines the fear of the Lord like this. He writes, "The fear of the Lord is a continual, humble, and faithful submission to the Lord, which compels one to hate evil and turn away from it, and brings with it rewards better than all earthly treasures. The rewards of a love for and knowledge of God, long life, confidence, satisfaction, and protection." The great 19th century commentator and theologian Charles Bridges wrote this. He said, "The fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law." One other commentator says that the fear of the Lord is an awareness that God is present with us, watching everything we do, say, and even think. Now, such fear, Solomon says, is the beginning of knowledge. Now, that word beginning can have two different meanings. It can mean first, as in the first of a series. And so if that's the meaning here, then Solomon would be saying that the fear of the Lord is the first or the starting point of knowledge. It's where knowledge begins. But it could also mean foundation or basic ruling principle. And that's probably more the meaning here in this context. And what Solomon is saying is that the only way that we can know anything in this world, in this life, is if we fear God. Why? Well, because the world and everything in it was created by God. To claim to know anything apart from God is, as one commentator put it, trying to read without knowing the alphabet, or trying to play a piece of music without reading the notes. It simply cannot be done. Now, sadly, most people in our world today don't believe this. In fact, they believe the exact opposite. They believe, with the full support and approval of our public education system, that in order to know anything, we must exclude God. God, we are told, has nothing to say about history or science or mathematics or art or music or any other field of human inquiry. But the Bible and our text teaches that that is not true. The truth is, unless we fear the Lord, we know nothing at all. Well, my friend, what about you today? Do you fear the Lord? You know, this is where true knowledge begins. It begins with the fear of the Lord. And so the truly wise are those who fear the Lord. What about those who don't fear the Lord? Well, that brings us to our second point. If Proverbs makes anything clear, it is that there are only two kinds of people in the world. There's the wise and there's the foolish. And that's clear also from our text. After declaring that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that's the positive side of our text, Solomon goes on to say that fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the negative side of our text. Now, the words wisdom and instruction are related to the word knowledge, but they're slightly different. Wisdom, as we've seen, is the fruit of knowledge. We could say it's the practical application of knowledge. The wise man of the Old Testament is one who knows what God expects of him in every given situation, and he does it. Instruction is not the fruit of knowledge, but rather the root of knowledge. The root word means to chasten or to discipline. The basic idea is learning by discipline, learning in the school of hard knocks, we might say. Well, our text says that the person who despises that wisdom and knowledge is a fool. And that word means thick, stupid, unteachable. They're fools because they do not understand how important wisdom and instruction is. They just go through life doing whatever they want to do, saying whatever they want to say, living however they want to live, not subject or accountable to anyone or anything, including God. Now, why is that? Why is it that they live that way? Well, because their hearts are dead in trespasses and sins. They have no sensitivity to or appreciation for the things of God. What they do know of God and of His Word, they hate and reject. Instead of allowing himself to be guided by the Word of God, the fool is guided by his own wicked thoughts and opinions, even though it will hurt him, and in some cases even lead to his death. Now, there were many such people in the Bible, just like there are many such people today. Cain was a good example. One day Cain and his brother Abel presented their sacrifices to the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And Cain was so upset about this that the Lord appeared to him and told him that if he did well, he would be accepted. But if he did not do well, sin lay at the door, and it would seek to gain mastery over him unless he learned to control it. The next day, while Cain was talking with Abel, his brother, in a certain field, Cain rose up against him and killed him. From that day forward, Cain was a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. He was a fool. Another example is Saul. Saul was jealous of David and repeatedly sought to kill him. One day his son Jonathan told his father that he was wrong. David had done nothing to deserve this treatment and advised his father to desist. But Saul would not listen. He kept on pursuing David. And eventually the Spirit of the Lord departed completely from Saul. The kingdom was taken away from him, and he ended up falling on his own sword after he was defeated in battle. He was a fool. Now, all of these men have two things in common. First of all, they were provided with wisdom and instruction, but they despised it, and they did so to their own hurt. And such is the case with every fool who has ever lived. Every fool, when confronted with wisdom and instruction, will despise it, often to his own hurt. Well, is there anyone like that here today? Are there any fools listening to this broadcast today? My friend, if so, you're in great danger. Listen to what Solomon says in verses 20 to 33 of our text chapter. There Solomon portrays wisdom as a merchant woman calling out her wares in the marketplace and in other public places. And this is what she says. She says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour of my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you." So here we have wisdom calling out to the fools. But how do the fools respond? Well, they completely ignored her call. They chose to remain fools. And as a result of this, she pronounces a curse on them. Verse 24. "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes, when your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." And so God says that as long as you despise wisdom and instruction, you stand under his wrath and condemnation. And that means when you find yourself in trouble, trouble caused by your own stupidity and your own unwillingness to heed instruction, then God will not answer you. You will cry out to him, but he will turn a deaf ear to you. Why? Not because he's cruel and heartless, but because you turned your back on him. You hated the knowledge that was offered to you, and you despised his reproof. You wanted nothing to do with him or with his counsel, and as a result, ultimately, the Lord will leave you to wallow in your own mire. You'll be slain by your own folly. What a warning this is to all of us, but perhaps especially to our children and young people. Children, young people, you are at an age when you are especially tempted to despise wisdom and instruction. You think you can figure everything out on your own. You don't need the church. You don't need your parents. You don't need your teachers to tell you how to live your life. You don't need anyone to tell you what music you can listen to or music you can't listen to, what books you can and cannot read, what internet sites you may or may not browse, what clothes you may and may not wear, what friends you may and may not have, what you can and cannot do for entertainment. You can decide for yourself. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Why? Because that way he can drag you down to hell with him to suffer with him forever and ever. Well, don't listen to him. Don't give in to the voices in our culture, in our society, but resist them. Say no to them. Seek wisdom. Get instruction and live according to it. And God says you will be blessed. And that's precisely what the Lord himself promises. After warning those who do not listen to him that he will not listen to them, the Lord goes on to say, verse 33, "But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of Eve. Oh, do you see the contrast? Those who do not listen to the Lord will perish, but those who do shall dwell safely to all eternity. Now maybe you say, where can I get that wisdom then? Well, the answer can be found in James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom comes from God, and it is mediated by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. And that stands to reason, doesn't it? For Christ is wisdom personified. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 that Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And in Colossians 2 verse 3, we read that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you desire wisdom today, you must get it from Christ. He is the only source of wisdom. Oh, have you come to Him? Have you believed on Him? Have you embraced Him? Oh, if not, will you do so? Perhaps as a result of hearing this sermon. At the beginning of my sermon, I said we all need wisdom. Without it, we cannot function in this confusing world in which we live. Such wisdom, as we heard, is to be found only in Jesus Christ. And He is ready and He is willing to impart that wisdom to you also. If you ask Him, oh, go to Him. Turn from your foolishness. Seek for His wisdom, and you shall be truly wise. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by this message, or if you have a comment on the message you've heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can do so by sending us a check in any amount or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your prayers and your financial support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.